It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Today on It's a Good Life, we'll be looking at the book of James. The last time we were together, we looked at the book of Hebrews, and this is bird's eye view of the New Testament. And we're in study number 20 right now. Well, the book of James, and we're going to look at, first of all, who the penman God used to write down this. Remember, God is the author. And it's the penman is thought to be James, the brother of Jesus. Well, we know by studying that James did not believe in Jesus as the Son of God until Jesus had risen from the dead, according to John chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. Well, you can also read Acts chapter 1, verse 14, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 7. James was one of the leaders of the Jerusalem church, according to Acts chapter 15, verse 13, and Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9. Well, the date of this writing, and it appears to have been written about A.D., between 45 and 50 A.D., and since it does not mention the Jerusalem Council of Acts 15, we can draw that conclusion. Well, these dates that I'm giving you are not etched in stone. These are primarily the dates that many Bible scholars would say that this book of the Bible, James, and the other books that I've already mentioned and their dates, these were thought to be by historians the dates. And these are those people who have studied the Word of God, and they come to these conclusions or these dates that I'm giving you as being an approximate time. Well, now, the setting of the book, it was written to Jewish Christians who had been scattered from Palestine by persecution or other situations. Then, according to James chapter 1, verse 1, it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now, you can go ahead and read Acts chapter 8 and verses 1 through 4 and chapter 12, verses 14 through 17 of the book of Acts, and it will help you understand that this book, James, was written to Jewish Christians. They were scattered from Palestine by persecution. And then I see the key verse, I would think, that as we look in the book of James, once again, these are verses that I see as key verses, and you may see something else. You may see something different, some other verses there, and that's quite all right, because I would pray that God speaks to your heart and he would draw certain scriptures to your mind and into your understanding as being key verses. But I believe the key verses here are James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Well, then some other verses that I believe are key verses would be James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. You see, it's hard to pin down one or two verses. There are several verses that I see as key words here, key verses here. Verse 14 of chapter 2 through 17, it says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now understand this, he's not talking about the loss of salvation or being saved by works. He's talking about a result of faith. The result of being saved, of asking Christ into your heart. And this is something that many people try to say, James is talking about, if you don't work, you're not saved. That's not what the Bible is teaching here. Man looks on the outward, God looks on the heart. Well, I see the purpose of the book is to show the progress of faith in a Christian in the Christian life. In other words, the book of James gives instruction concerning matters that involve faith in the Christian life. It also lets us understand that the purpose is how faith responds to trials. We read this in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 18. And it lets us understand that there's a recognition of the good fruit of testing. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, and we've already read that about being complete and also falling into diverse temptations. And in verse 4, it says in chapter 1 there that it says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." You see, it has to do with the perfecting of the saint, and that is the saint, the Christian. Well, then in James chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." And verse 6 says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." Verse 7, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Well, another purpose of the book is to look to the promised reward, the crown of life, according to James chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Well, I believe there's also a reference here that we could look at to the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Well, the crown of life is received for those people who endureth temptation, or those people who endure tribulation, those people who do not give up, those people who do not throw in the towel when the going gets tough. Well, I see another purpose of the book, and that is to recognize God as the source of all things good. God can do nothing that is wrong or evil, according to James chapter 1, verses 13 through 18. He's God. He is the one who is righteous. He's the one who is altogether lovely. He is the one who cannot sin. Well, there's so many things in this book, and I see another purpose of the book, and it lets us know how faith works, according to James chapter 1, verse 19, through chapter 2 and verse 26. First, we see that faith works by faith obeying God's word. James chapter 1, verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Then we see that faith practices love. It says in James 1, 27, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." See, the greatest commandment is love, according to the Scriptures. Well, then we see that love removes discrimination. There's no discrimination when it comes to a saving knowledge of Christ, and we are to show no partiality when someone comes into our churches or approaches us and wants to know about Christ. We are not to show partiality of how a person looks better than another person or whatever, but we are to treat all people the same. Love removes discrimination. Well, then we see that faith produces mercy toward others. James chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, where it says, "So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment." Well, then, faith that cannot be seen by people through works shows no indication of life. It does not show anything. There's nothing there if we're not doing what God wants us to do. It would appear to the outside world that you're saying you're a Christian, but you're doing nothing for the Lord. It would appear that to that person, well, if they might say, if that person is saved, then I'm as good as they are. I'm going to heaven if they're going to heaven. Do you ever hear anybody say that? Well, that's not the case. That person who's not working, who has been saved, that person who is saved and not doing anything for the Lord, they are exhibiting a bad testimony in front of this world. And that's not good. If you're one of those people who are not serving God, you need to be serving God today as a testimony to His saving grace. And that person who looks at you and says, "Well, if you're going to heaven, I'm as good as you," I'm going, then that person is badly mistaken. The way a person goes to heaven, of course, is by faith in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a testimony to this lost and dying world. Live for the Lord. We also see that faith brings us into submission to God. And this is according to James chapter 3 and chapter 4. And an act of faith helps control our tongue. You read about that in James, and that's something that's hard to control, isn't it? Our tongue gets us into a lot of trouble. But we see that active faith, that faith that is being used for God, the faith that God has given us that we can work for Him and with Him, it helps to control our tongue. And evidence of working for God and doing His will is that our tongue is controlled by the Lord. You see, true wisdom of God is exhibited or seen and is pure, peaceable, gentle, and easily entreated. And this is the way it is when we live for the Lord. It holds as much mercy, this faith, and as good results as is possible without showing preference to any particular individual. And we've talked about that. There is no partiality when it comes to God. True wisdom is displayed without any pretense or false claims, according to James chapter 3. But we also see in James chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." In other words, ask him. Ask God for wisdom, and he'll give you that wisdom as you study the Word of God. Faith produces victory, according to James chapter 5, and faith, believing God, produces endurance, according to James chapter 5. Faith urges us to pray for each other, according to James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. But if we want the wisdom of God, get into the Word of God. Ask Him for wisdom. Ask Him. He is no respecter of persons. Well, then we go on and we see that those who recognize the seriousness of straying from the truth can help those who have strayed. In other words, we've strayed and God has gotten a hold of us and we've come back. We're living for the Lord. We haven't lost our salvation when we've strayed. But God once again restores us. And then we can help that other brother or sister who has strayed from the Lord to understand that they can still be used of God, to get things right with God and live for Him. And that person who has strayed from the Lord, that person who is not living for the Lord, that person is saved. And sometimes a person will get out of the will of God. We're not to crush that person, but we are to help that person because they are a child of God, a brother or sister in Christ. Well, what is pure religion? According to James chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." James chapter 1, verse 27, once again, is the only time out of five mentions in the King James Bible the word religion is used and meant in a good way. This religion is a product or a fruit of being saved. Do you know the Lord today as your Savior? The most important decision you will ever make in your life is turning your life over to the Lord. The only way you can do that is to trust Jesus as your Savior. Ask Him to come into your heart. He's the Savior, and He will save you. If you'll get serious with Him, He'll get serious with you. Ask Him to come into your heart to save you today. And if you are saved, listen to Him. Listen to the Lord and do His bidding. Bring honor and glory to the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Serve the Lord today and let Him lead you and guide you through this world.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.